Welcome to Season 6, Episode 4 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about words of eternal life. As always, we're going to be focusing on what the Bible has to say about our topic. So I invite you to test all things in light of what the Scriptures teach. Let's get started. Public opinion can quickly change. We see that in news reports in the world around us. But in John chapter 6, John's record there in that chapter begins with Jesus miraculously feeding 5,000 people. And as he talks about there in that description, in that account, that number only included the men. So how many people Jesus fed there on that occasion, we don't know the exact number. But it was 5,000 men plus women and children. And because of this, the people concluded in verse 14 that this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. And because they believed this, in verse 15 it says, they were ready to come and take him by force and make him king. And we talked about this in the previous episode, how they were willing at this time to go against the Roman army and install Jesus as their king. But by the end of the chapter, all of them had left except for his 12 disciples. It says in John 6, verses 66 through 68, as a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So Jesus said to the 12, you do not want to go away also, do you? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. Why did the crowd leave Jesus? Again, at the beginning of the chapter, they were wanting to make him their king, and by the end of the chapter, they didn't want to have anything to do with him. Why did the crowd leave Jesus? Well, there are at least two reasons for this. Number one, his words were difficult. Jesus said to them in verses 51 through 54, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Then the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Now, Jesus was not saying that they were to eat and drink his actual flesh and blood, but they stumbled over this statement. They were thinking, at least when they first heard it, this is what Jesus was talking about. And they thought, well, how could he give us his flesh to eat? Obviously, it's not something that is reasonable, not something that anyone would want to accept. And so they were not willing to accept what Jesus says here because they had a misconception about what he meant. And so they said in verse 60, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? And while the Bible is understandable, we're told that in Ephesians 3 and verse 4, when we read, we can understand. The teachings from Christ and the teachings from his apostles are understandable, but some teachings may be more difficult to understand. Peter talked about in 2 Peter 3 and verse 16 about how Paul wrote about some things that were hard to understand. Not impossible to understand, but harder to understand, and they require additional thought and examination and study. We are to be diligent to learn how to accurately handle the word of truth, as Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:15. But some don't want to be diligent in learning what the word of God means. And so when they encounter a teaching that they consider a difficult statement, they do what this crowd did. They left Jesus. They didn't want to figure out what it was that Jesus meant. They just said, well, this is a difficult statement. We can't listen to it. But the second reason why they left was because Jesus' words were demanding. If Jesus' statement that they said was a difficult statement in verse 60, if that was not enough for the crowd to decide to leave, his explanation of the statement was. Now, they had a misconception, but Jesus explained that he was not teaching them to literally eat and drink his actual flesh and blood. That wasn't the point he was making. Instead, he explained in verses 61 through 63, "Does this cause you to stumble? What then if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life." Jesus did not want them to eat his flesh, but to consume his words. They needed to take his words as their sustenance. As Jesus said in Matthew 4, verse 4, quoting from the Old Testament, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." His word is there to sustain us. His word is there to strengthen us, that we are built up by his word, as Paul talked about in Acts 20 and verse 32. They needed to take the words of Christ to sustain them and strengthen them, just the same as we must do as well. John the Baptist said that he who does not obey the Son will not see life, John 3 and verse 36. Jesus demands obedience from us. We take his words and we live by them. We obey him. And his obedience to him means that we are to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow him, as he said in Luke 9:23. And while John says in 1 John 5:3, his commandments are not burdensome, many do not want to make a wholehearted commitment that is necessary to follow him. And so when they recognize what he is actually teaching, that we must take his words and live by his words and be sustained by his words, strengthened by his words, obey his words, when they recognize that that is what is necessary, they don't want to make that commitment, and so they quit following him. Interestingly, when the crowd left, Jesus didn't panic. If we were in that situation and we were teaching a group of people, a large group of people, and we make a statement and everyone starts leaving, we might be tempted to panic and try to do anything to convince the crowd to stay. But that's not what Jesus did. He let them go. And in fact, he almost seemed as though he offered his 12 disciples that remained an opportunity for them to leave also if they wanted to. He says in verse 67, "You do not want to go away also, do you?" If any of the disciples wanted to leave, they had the opportunity to speak up then and say that they wanted to leave, and they could have gone with the crowd. But if they left Jesus, where would they go? More importantly for us, if we leave Jesus, either because his words are too difficult or we think they're too demanding, we ask what Peter asked, "To whom shall we go?" Will we go to those who will tickle our ears, as Paul said in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3, and speak those things that we want to hear? Will we go to those who will use smooth and flattering speech, as Paul said in Romans 16 and verse 18, whose words sound good to us, whose words make us feel good? Will we go to those who will pervert the grace of God and make it a license for sin, as Jude talked about in Jude 4, so that we can live as we please? If we go to any of the teachers that are described in those verses, we will turn away from the truth, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 4, and we will follow that which is contrary to the teaching which we have learned, Romans 16, 17. And we will depart from the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints, Jude in verse 3. The problem with following these other teachers is that none of them have words of eternal life, John 6, 68. Only Jesus possesses these words. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me," in John 14, 6. And speaking of Christ, Peter said in Acts 4:12, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." So when we look at Peter's question and his statement that followed, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life." If we're not interested in eternal life, then we are free to turn away from Christ as the crowd did, and we can follow any other teacher that we want, or follow no teaching if we want. But if we're not interested in eternal life, we can go anywhere we want to go and listen to whatever words, whatever message we want to. But if we want eternal life, then we have no other option but to follow Christ and do what he teaches us to do. Hebrews 5 and verse 9 talks about how he is the source of eternal salvation to those who obey him. He has the words of eternal life. We need to take his words, believe them, practice them, so that we can, in the end, be saved by him. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others. Next week, we'll be talking about judging with righteous judgment. Until then, I hope you have a great week.